want to start off by thanking everybody for the public coming out, expressing their concerns, the applicants being here, trying to present their position. So I'm going to, again, I think Commissioner Gilman's position is pretty firm. I'm going to again look to my vice chairman. We have two options. We can either postpone this item, or we can approve with the recommended motion to go forward and proceed with the liquor license.
Mr. Chairman?
The question was...
Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes.
So I would take a position. I hereby move to continue this item to the December 6th meeting.
All right, there's a motion. Do we have a second?
I can't second that motion.
Okay.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Before a full, now you have a motion and a second, before a full vote is made, I think there should be some findings with this motion.
Okay.
If you'd like, I'll give you some potential findings to consider, and you can also decide if you want to add more findings or not accept the findings I'll put forward.
Okay.
All right, it's consistent practice in planning that there would be findings based on the conversations that happened today, the motion to continue, and the ultimate vote may be decided on looking further into parking considerations, working with the district attorney's office on whether further conditions can be put on this liquor license at the location in accordance with the county code that's being discussed today. It also gives the applicant a chance to work with neighbors and consult further with them before coming to the next meeting of the commissioners. And I believe that would be it at this point. And then it should be mentioned in here that the item, if you were to continue it, would be to the December 6, 2022 County Commission meeting at the courthouse and on Zoom.
All right, thank you, County Manager Osborne. So we do have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
All right, so the motion passes, not unanimously. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see this item on the 6th. If there's any communications you need to have with the neighbors, I would encourage you to get that done before the 6th. I know that the county is putting together some documentation so that Commissioner Gilman and the rest of us have some items to look at. And thank you, folks, for being here. I appreciate that. So with that said, again, thank you for everybody. I know that may not be the ideal situation, but please.
So just a couple of things to consider. I don't know that we'll be able to get an extension.
Okay.
So we could take it off your docket sooner than later. Okay. if the sellers are unwilling to give another extension. And then also, what exactly would you like us to come back prepared to present to Commissioner Gilman? Because again, we're talking about an application, not the building, because we are in no way, shape or form, nor within 2 weeks could we possibly prepare exhibits and so forth.
I understand your issue with just trying to get the application moved forward. But as we've been instructed by legal counsel, if we approve that today, then we have no recourse whatsoever. Don't, you know, to address parking issues, to address traffic issues. So while I understand that you know, the move was to just get the application rolling, per legal counsel, they have stated to us that this would be the time. Once we approve this, hypothetically, had we approved this motion today and allowed the application process to go through, we don't have an opportunity during the first and second reading to all of a sudden pull back that decision, right? Say whatever may come up. So I'm going to ask Commissioner Gilman to state on the record what he would like to see. I'm pretty much on par with Commissioner Gilman as far as the things that he's recommended. So if you don't mind, Lance, repeating what items you would like to see before making this decision. You're on mute.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'd like to see some additional information regarding location, ingress, egress, planning. I understand that the zoning is acceptable for liquor licensing, but I'm not comfortable that the location is. So I want to see some conversation, and also I'm going to have some conversation with the neighborhood prior to the December 6th meeting. So I would love to be able to bring a meeting of the minds together. I'm not negative whatsoever, but I need more information on the table before I can vote on a positive basis on this issue.
So the information then that we'll come back with is we'll use the Brown Building for the tasting room, and parking will be directly behind it.
Okay.
I mean, that's,
yeah, so
that's all the information.
If it's doable to maybe do an overhead and just kind of lay out what that proposed plan is.
Okay.
That would be super helpful.
Okay.
And I'm familiar with the area. I think Commissioner Mitchell is. I don't know that Commissioner Gilman is aware of the street layout. So I think that the county will probably provide that for us as well. I think that is definitely one of the concerns Commissioner Gilman's looking at, you know, how people get in and out, things of that nature. So any other questions? Okay. Thank you. If for some reason they do not extend your bid to buy the house, just contact the county manager's office and we can pull it off the same day if need be.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. Moving on to item number 12. We're going to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bring us item number 12, which is discussion for possible action. Enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, Nevada's Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers, also known as NAPSO, to amend Article 11 to provide for payout of annual leave over 240 hours in December of 2022. The Article 13 to amend the county's contribution for dependent health coverage to 100%. And to allow for deputies to cash out 40 hours of sick leave to be applied towards HSA contributions or certain insurance premiums. Jeannie.
Thank you. Good afternoon. We're requesting approval of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers. This MOU was negotiated in order to address immediate recruitment and retention issues within the Sheriff's Association. Recruitment and retention of law enforcement officers throughout the country is a major issue, and employers are implementing incentives to address these issues. The full contract with our association will be up for negotiation at the beginning of 2023. And there may be more provisions relating to these incentives that we'll come back to at the time that that contract is finalized. The MOU in front of you today has three provisions. Under Article 11, we're proposing a payout of annual leave over 240 hours at the end of the calendar year. At this time, it appears that it would only impact up to four long-term employees that have over 240 hours. The second provision is under Article 13 and allows employees to cash out up to 40 hours of sick leave that can be applied towards their health insurance premiums or their HSA contributions. We approved a like provision when the AFSCME contract was negotiated in July of this year. And there was also a policy developed that allowed the appointed non-represented employees to cash out the sick leave. The third provision in this MOU is in Article 13 and provides that the county will pay 100% of the monthly premiums for health insurance at the base plan for employees' dependents. Currently, only employees hired prior to July 1st, 2014 receive this benefit. Employees hired after that date are required to pick up 100% of dependent coverage costs. This has greatly hindered recruitment of new employees, as those costs can be up to $2,800 per month if they have their family on the plan. It is anticipated if this MOU is approved that AFSCME will come forward and ask for light coverage for their employees, and the appointed non-represented employees will request that as well. But that will come back to you at a future date if that does occur. Are there any questions I can respond to at this point?
Thank you, Jeannie. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jeannie at this time?
I don't have any questions for Jeannie. I may have some comments to add here later.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments for Jeannie?
I don't have any questions.
All right. I don't have any questions for you at this time either. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell or Commissioner Gilman, do you want to say something before I look for a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to suggest on the record that given the fact that the incredible amount of lawlessness that's going on in our nation and that we're all aware of is certainly apparent and has the probability of escalating. In my opinion, our first responsibility is the health, safety, and welfare of our community. And I believe that that our county, God bless them, have positioned us to be financially capable of bringing a sheriff's department together that that can certainly enhance that protection, the oversight of our homes and home invasion and carjackings and everything else going on. And to the extent that that we can help, I'm very much in favor of enhancing our sheriff's department and evolving a Cadillac, if you will, a gold-plated, one of the finest departments in the state of Nevada. And so I'm very firmly committed and supportive of this particular item. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Before I do, I just want to state that, you know, given kind of the exigent circumstances of the state of the labor market these days, and I don't think we can afford to just be mediocre in what we offer to our employees. And as Commissioner Gilman stated, you know, we're fortunate to be in a position economically that that we have the budget, the revenues to be able to offer a better package, if you will. And so I find these measures to be warranted, not only warranted, but also totally appropriate. So with that, I'll make a motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, Nevada Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers, NAPSO, to amend Article 11 to provide for pay out of annual leave over 240 hours in December of 2022, and Article 13 to amend the county contribution for dependent health insurance coverage to 100% and to allow for deputies to cash out 40 hours of sick leave to be applied toward HSA contribution or certain insurance premiums.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie, for your work on this. Moving right along to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 22-661, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 22-23 fiscal year, and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the title of event and business development manager being changed to tourism and event manager, the grade level being increased from grade 131 to grade 135, and abolishing the tourism marketing manager grade 135.
Thank you. Jeannie Green, Labor Relations. We are requesting approval of the revised pay resolution for appointed and non-appointed employees. The Virginia City Tourism Commission has recently approved a minor reorganization of staff. There are two components to the reorganization. The first is we're requesting the event and business development manager be retitled to tourism and event manager, and the grade level be increased from grade 131 to grade 135. Secondly, we are requesting abolishment of the tourism marketing manager position. This position has been vacant for a few months, and it has been determined the position is not needed. The duties previously assigned this position have been absorbed by the contract PR firm and the aforementioned tourism and events manager. The reorganization will result in one less full-time employee. And happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Jeannie. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this item?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I don't have any questions about the specifics of this item. I was wondering maybe if you, Mr. Chairman, if there's someone more appropriate, could just give a little bit of context as far as the philosophy or thinking behind the reorganization that's happened there.
I will try to address that unless Linda Ritter is she online?
She was. Yes.
Okay, yes. Linda, would you like to address that? Okay,
I'm mute. There I am. I'm sorry. Here I am.
Thanks.
For the record, Linda Ritter. Formerly the interim tourism director. What we did was this position has been vacant since May of last year, the marketing. And in the meantime, a lot of those duties have shifted over to Leah Cruz, who is the event and business development manager. And her position has morphed into taking on some of those responsibilities. And also this last meeting of the VCTC, we approved a new contract with RAD Strategies, who is our marketing firm, contract marketing firm. And they're taking care of the lion's share of all the marketing that was previously done by this position, the marketing position. Now, the tourism and marketing manager was a new position as of October of just last year. So the position was started. We tried it. We have since gone a different direction, and we feel we don't need that. Yet for the event, what was formerly the event and business development director or manager, we'd like to bump up her salary in recognition of the additional work that she's taking on.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Any other questions, Mr. Chair?
Thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding item number 13 and this grade adjustment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 22-661, a resolution setting grade and salary range of employees fixed by ordinance or resolution per NRS 245.045 for appointed Story County officials for the 2022-23 fiscal year and superseding prior year action by resolution for appointed Story County employees with the title of event and business development manager being changed to tourism and event manager, the grade level being increased from grade 131 to grade 135, and abolishing the tourism marketing manager grade 135 position.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jeannie. Moving on to item number 14, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and approval to authorize the county manager to sign and approve a contract with Loomis and Associates for approximately $27,050 to conduct a boundary survey, split and separate portions of and record a recorded survey map for portions of two mining claims in accordance with the memorandum of understanding between Story County and Comstock and the Comstock Cemetery Foundation for the purposes of facilitating future modern burials and family plot areas expansions at the Silver Terrace Cemeteries in Virginia City, Story County. Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. On November 2nd, this board approved a memorandum of understanding between Story County and the Comstock Cemetery Foundation for operations, modern burials, and preservation at the Silver Tourist Cemeteries, as well as other cemeteries on the Comstock. Part of this MOU is Section 6 that says that there is an area that needs to be resurveyed, and that is the area known to be the EEL, or the expansion area for modern burials, and then also the Heroy Marshall family plot area to the east portion of the cemetery that needs a land survey to determine two claims, the Ohio relocation and the March fraction, and where those claims end and begin, to set corners, and also to determine through a title search and ownership search who owns all the claims and the overlapping claims. It's quite complex. Because of that, we reached different surveyors and found Loomis and Associates with Dave Crook to be the most poised to be able to handle a survey of this magnitude on the Comstock. He is well-versed on properties and mining claims in this area and probably is the most qualified in the area for that purpose. He'll determine the ownership of these claims, the boundaries of them, the corners, and then he'll record a record of survey establishing them. And then the entirety of the MOU will be fulfilled. It does not need to come back to the board for further action. And then for 99 years, we will have a modern burial area for county or future county residents and others that are from the county. The cost of this is $27,050. And the reason for that cost is the complexity of finding the ownership and setting the corners of these claims.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about this agenda item?
No comments. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any comments either, Austin. Thank you. We'll go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding item number 14 on the agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to authorize the county manager to sign and approve a contract with Loomis and Associates for approximately $27,050 to conduct a boundary survey, split and separate portions of, and record a record of survey map for portions of two mining claims in accordance with a memorandum of understanding between Story County and the Comstock Cemetery Foundation for the purposes of facilitating future modern burials and family plot area expansions at the Silver Terrace Cemeteries in Virginia City, Story County.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Moving right along to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of agreement with Tyler Technologies Incorporated, also known as Tyler, whereby the Eagle Recorder software utilized by the recorder and clerk's offices will be moved from an on-site to a data server hosted by Tyler in the annual amount of $27,663 for the five-year term of the contract and a one-time fee of $9,000. Recorder McPherson or Keith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. What I wanted to address was a question of a couple of changes that were made in the original agreement that were subsequently posted on the county website yesterday and are available here at the podium in the back for review by the public. First, when I review these contracts, the things I'm mostly focused on are risk management. So that's things like indemnification, limitations on liability, and things like that. And those are where I have addressed in the contract that's before you today. So what I've included a provision that says, yes, the county also has limitations on liability, which are set out in Chapter 41 of the Nevada Revised Statute. I've also said that as is the case with Tyler, that we're not going to be paying for anything but except for actual damages if liability arises. And to the extent that there is liability, it's limited by Chapter 41. I've also included a provision which I've been seeing a lot more frequently in contracts that come through here is in the force majeure provisions, which if there's something outside the ability of anybody to respond to, that the performance of the contract can be suspended pending the length of the force majeure issue. And so what has been coming through is that that's true, except for the fact that the county has to continue to make payments. And so what I provided under this force majeure clause is at if the force majeure clause issue lasts for more than 14 days, that the county can suspend payment. And so that is in this particular contract also. And those are the changes that I've put in there, and I have asked Drew to address the purpose of the contract and what's behind it.
Hello, Drew McPherson, Story County Recorder. I'm here today requesting approval of funds for a project to move recorder and clerk software, Tyler Eagle Recorder, from an on-site server to the cloud and to sign the agreement that was submitted. My office uses Tyler Eagle Recorder for all of our main functions, like recording, receipting, housing document images and data. And the clerk uses it for filing fictitious firm names and issuing marriage licenses. Currently, the software and data live on the county server, which is maintained by IT. While we have been on the county server for years, our internet speed and capacity has improved significantly over time and can now support a successful move to the cloud. If approved for this project, it will save the county money in the long term due to using less manpower for security updates and less hardware maintenance, heating and cooling. The IT department will still assist with our software as needed, but moving to a hosted environment will take work off the department's plate. Jennifer McCain has approved the use of the Capital Improvement Software Fund to cover costs for the first prorated annual fee for the project totaling $21,971.88. The recorder's office will contribute the one-time fee of up to $9,000 from our office tech fund, and that is budgeted per year. We have $10,000 available for that. Once this has been paid, the cost will be a budgeted expense shared between the clerk and recorder's offices. The new annual amount is $27,633, and the rate is locked in for the 5 years of the contract. After the signing, the project will take approximately 8 to 10 weeks to implement. DA's office has approved the contract. James Dean is here to address any technical concerns, and Jennifer McCain is available to discuss the financial side. And I'm also happy to answer any questions you might have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Drew. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Drew, Keith, Jennifer, or James?
I have no questions. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions either.
All right. I don't have any questions, but I definitely applaud the move. I think it's time that we get servers out of the courthouse and into a more secure location. So
thank you
and to your office and the clerk's office for getting this thing moving forward. So with that said, I'll see if there's any public comment. Not seeing any public comment on this item. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Tyler Service agreement to move the Eagle Recorder software from an on-premise environment to a hosted environment in the amount of $27,663 annually with a one-time fee of $9,000 and authorize the recorder to sign. I do want to note that that includes the changes noted by Deputy D. Loomis to limitations on county liability and the force majeure clause.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you.
Good luck getting that transition started. Let us know when it's all done. All right, moving on to item number 16. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of 6 replacement streetlight tops and 15 poles for the C Street gas lamp fixtures in the amount of $47,397 and no change. This has previously been approved in the yearly budget for a total amount of $50,000. Public Works Director Wersbicki.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wersbicki for the record. As you stated, this is to purchase replacement 6 tops and 15 posts for the old looking C Street gas lamp fixtures for a total amount of $47,397. And as stated, it was previously approved in the yearly budget for a total of $50,000.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No, thank you, Jason.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I have no questions.
All right. I don't have any questions either. We'll see if the public does. there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the purchase of 6 tops and 15 poles for the C Street gas lamp fixtures.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
On to item number 17, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the final canvas of the results of the November 8th, 2022 general election held in Story County, Nevada. Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer, Story County. This is my first time to do a presentation for canvas, so bear with me for a minute, but just want to go through some of the basic statistics. We had 3,536 registered voters eligible to vote in the general election this November. Of those, we had 2,575 that actually cast ballots for a turnout in the general election of 72.82%. That turnout is fairly consistent with where we generally are in a midterm election, 2018 being the last one, where we had 73.45%. The comparison to 2020, which is a presidential election, which always has greater turnout, was 80.09. So it is not surprising that we didn't meet quite that threshold, although there were a number of contested races in our county. The more important or more interesting statistic to look at, because this is now our second election cycle with mail-in ballots. We generally, as we saw in 2018, had 66% of our ballots cast in person between early voting and election day. Approximately that in-person balance was pretty well split between the early voting period and in-person on election day. This last cycle, if we look at a apples to apples consideration of a midterm election, we had 64% in person. So that is generally in balance with what we saw in 2018. And of that, 24% was early voting in person. So it's a little lower early voting, and that's probably because we have the new variable that's been introduced of mail-in ballots, of which 36% of our total votes cast were mail-in ballots. We don't have a lot of data to look at these trends, but I think that's interesting to look at because we know that there is quite a bit of interest between how people can vote and the access that we provide our voters to cast their vote in the general election. With that, any questions on that?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for our clerk?
No questions.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
Just one or two. My first question has to do with, I had some constituents who brought up concerns about some anomalies or some vote totals that seemed to be out of line. It appears that those are no longer with the final tally, that everything seems to be within kind of a standard variance, if you will. Just curious if you could comment, and certainly if it's easier to take this conversation offline, I'm happy to do that. Are there provisions currently in place under state law or by the Secretary of State's office for review, hand counting, audit, some way to verify if those were persistent concerns coming through the count?
There certainly is the avenue for someone to demand some type of a forensic analysis. That would have to be through the judicial system in order to open it up and for a full audit of the result. We will be running through a statistical test just to take ballots, both as cast on the paper, as we saw through the machines, and the mail-in ballots to do a review to see if there is indeed a consistency in that. But it is not that audit, which will take place, I believe, end of the month, right at the beginning of December. I can get you that specific date if you want. But that would be of a sample, and it would just be a quick audit to see if everything did balance or if something on a larger basis would be needed. In addition to those two avenues, there really is nothing else that will go on with this in terms of an audit of this election. I have also had questions posed to me, maybe similar to some of your constituents. I'll point one out that is one that came to me directly, and that was with the result in the Attorney General's race. It was brought to my attention that there seemed to be a very high number of undervote. And for the record, an undervote is the number of votes that are eligible to be cast, but not in that specific race. So again, if we have 3,536 eligible votes and only 2,000, or let me re-correct that. If we had 2,575 votes cast total overall over all races, but in a specific race, the total was less than that, that difference is an undervote. What came up specifically in my review, very non-statistical, just looking at it to try and help people understand. We had a lot of people that just didn't vote in the AG's race, maybe because it was too controversial, you know, why, that's up to the voter. Another very interesting aspect of that race was that there was a candidate that was on the ballot, but was ineligible to hold office. And because of the timing of the protest of that candidate's placement on the ballot, the Secretary of State, and I believe the courts decided that that candidate could not be removed. There were people that still voted for that candidate. And that added to the undervote because that was determined to be a vote that was ineligible, but it was still one that is in the total, almost like an abstention when you take a vote. The abstention isn't counted as a plus or minus, but it is in the denominator for the total the total percentage of votes cast. So I was able to talk to some people, provide that detail in my findings, looking at some of the ballots, paper ballots, just again, non-statistically, and it helped them understand why they're seeing a bigger undervote in that race. But we could have some things like that across all races where a voter just didn't seem to care for either candidate. And only in statewide races is there a none of the above. So anything that is a district race or even federal races, you don't have none of the above. And so that's not an eligible vote in that context. So that accounts for why we see some of these variances that people have pointed out.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah, that was
one. That may be more detail than you wanted, but I think people were interested in it.
Yeah, and that was one race that I was concerned about for that reason. You know, there certainly were a higher number of none of the above in that race, but the undervotes were specifically, it looked like there was it was outside the range of every other statewide office,
correct,
which were in a fairly tight grouping, and it was outside of that. In the final tally, it looks like it's come into that same range.
Yeah.
And so not concerned. Not so much a technical question, but my last question is, you know, it seems like we have moved to expand access to voting, and yet turnout does not seem to be going up. If anything, it seems to be slipping a bit. Any commentary or thoughts on that?
As we see the mail, we'll have to watch that trend. It does not seem to be growing considerably within Story County. At the same time, we had weather, and we all know what it was like Tuesday for the in-person turnout getting to the polls. But again, I think you raise a good point, which is we're providing more avenues, and at the same time, we're pretty much in control if you want to look at typical or traditional turnout numbers.
Great. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I don't have any questions for you at this time, Jim. Is there any public comment regarding item number 17 and the final canvas?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just under 293.387, I'd like to make sure that the motion also includes a provision that says that you approve the canvas and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanical report of the abstract to the Secretary of State. That's required to be set out in the minutes of the county.
Okay. You want me to repeat it?
Yes, if you, please.
Mind repeating that one more time, Keith?
And so add at the end of the motion and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanized report of the abstract to the Secretary of State.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Not seeing any other public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you
Mr. Chair, may I make just a couple more comments on this? First of all, I want to say that the website, which has a direct link from the landing page, from the home page to election results, those results for countywide offices have been updated per the data that we have presented to you in the abstract. I've also placed links there so that they can go directly to the Story County results on the Secretary of State's website and get the results for federal offices all the way through the ballot questions. In addition, they also have a link on the website that takes them to the general elections result on the store on the Secretary of State's website, so they can see the statewide and what other results are by county, et cetera, anything that they want to look at that the Secretary of State publishes. So that is very accessible on the website that is up and active as of this morning. As well as the abstract itself, as we've referenced for this meeting, is viewable under today's commission meeting, under board agendas, under county commission. People can go and get the full detail, which provides the results by race, by precinct, and in total for the county. I'd also like to talk about our goals in this, and this is going to be our goal again in 2024, is to make sure that everybody understands the process we are going through for elections. Everybody understands their points of participation, whether it be just to vote, which we push very strongly, but also observation and being able to apply with the clerk's office as a poll worker. We encourage participation. We want people to get involved and to be confident in the process that we are implementing. I think we had a very efficient and a very transparent process this time, and we're going to work to improve that as we go forward. Again, I want to give many thanks to the poll workers that came out, especially through early voting. We had 2 weeks of early voting, and we had a great response from people who wanted to work the polls and get experience. We thank them tremendously for the effort. We could not do this as effectively if we did not have their participation. And then we also had a considerable amount of observers that came into the polling places. And we, the clerk's office, welcomes any and all observers who abide by the rules and by in general. Everybody did that. They were very respectful to the process, and I thank them very much. And again, I just want to make sure everybody recognizes the efforts of the deputy clerks in the clerk's office, Heather Faircloth, who really organized and ran this election and did it in a very professional and effective manner with the help of deputy clerks Alicia Duke and Rebecca Livingston, and also Paul Livingston, Rebecca's husband, helped us as basically an election coordinator and helped us really coordinate equipment and delivery and allowed this to come off as a very effective and a very successful election. As you see, we still have equipment up here in the courtroom. This is where the final analysis and tally is done, and we'll be taking that down. But we have some final steps to do to conform with the Secretary of State in election security and final documentation and security of our vote data. And so that will be done within the week because we do have court on Friday, so it must be out of here by then. I just thank all the commissioners and the staff of the county as well, who provided a lot of support. Thank you for your backing and for all the confidence you put in the clerk's office for the conduct of this election. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the final canvass of the November 8th, 2022 general election in and for Story County, and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanical report to the Secretary of State.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Jim, to you and your staff. Moving right along to item number 18, this is discussion for possible action. For consideration of possible approval of business license second readings A through G. Is there any public comment regarding these second readings? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed on the agenda under item 18 as A through G.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 19. This is the second and final time for public comment. Is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number 20, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. Our next meeting will be December 6, 2022. We will not see anybody before the Thanksgiving holiday, so we're going to wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hope you get lots of food and turkey and get some shopping underway. So anyway, 12:54, meeting is adjourned.